Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
The mighty things that he has done. We would like to welcome you to the Crossroad broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I am your host and the speaker of the hour, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Yes, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. First of all, we would like to thank our radio audience for being here with us throughout 2012. It has been an awesome experience, and we're looking forward to 2013 as we continually broadcast, as we continually bring the Word of God and be able to come before each of you each week so that you can be able to receive of the Lord. There are many things that we have talked about here on the Crossroads broadcast. We have addressed marriage. We have addressed pre-marriage counseling. We have talked about family issues. We talked about anger and rage. We talked about abuse and neglect. So many stimulating topics that we have talked about. Domestic violence, many of them that we'll talk to you about this year. Yes, we're getting ready to go into another year, and we are ready, we are willing to come before you each week that you can be aware of things that are happening and things in your life that you're going through, that you can get some answers to your questions, the why questions. You can get some questions. And we are licensed Christian counselors, and we are all ministers of God, and therefore we can be able to give you the answer to many of the questions that you may have in your mind. But we want to get ready to go before the throne of grace. So why don't you go with us on today? Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name, we thank you to God for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord, we thank you, God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that word how we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for all those, God, that are in our radio audience, God, those that are going through the pain, God, of domestic violence, rape, God, incest, Lord God. I pray, God, even now that you would touch the people, God, that many healings have been manifest because of this broadcast. We thank you, Lord God, that we've been able to allow us to talk about family issues and many that have gone through anger and anger problems, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we were able to address those matters. Oh, Lord, continually to use us, God, as we come on from week to week. And this we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Yes, I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, one of the licensed Christian counselors, and we're here again today to talk to you about our last topic for 2012, and that is today we're going to talk about guilt. We were able to talk about it a little bit on last week and the week before, but we want to be able to come in today and give you to talk again about the topic guilt. For centuries, theologians and philosophers have struggled with the problem of suffering. And the question is, why do people suffer? Does suffering serve any useful purpose? And how can human suffering be reduced or eliminated? We do know that the Word of God tells us that even as he has suffered in the flesh, to arm ourselves likewise to suffer. We are going to go through situations in our life. We're going to suffer as being children of God. We're going to go through things that we don't necessarily want to go through. And when I think about Job, a man that was perfect, a man that was upright, one that feared God and his shoe, he shunned evil, this man of God, he went through some suffering in his life. But he had to have that faith. He had to rely on God to be able to bring him through. This man was very rich. He had much. He lost his cattle. He lost his sheep. He lost his oxen. Many things that he lost, his asses. And also he lost his sons and his daughter. And I'm telling you that that's not an easy thing to go through. And I just believe that if even with all that he had gone through, that he did not give up on God. Did he cry? I believe he did. Did he hurt? Yes, he did. Do you not hurt? Do you not cry? Are you not wounded when you go through different experiences in your life? When I think about the school where all those 20 children that was killed and shot down some weeks ago, I know that they went through some pain. I know that they went through some hurt. They went through some suffering. I know that the parents, I know that the fathers, and I know that the sisters and brothers and the aunts and the aunts, the neighbors and the friends, the United States of America, all over the world, they went through with that family. But no one can even attempt to go through anything like that except for them having lost a child or a loved one the way that this family and many of the families did. So therefore, we see that I don't believe that God is the author of suffering, but yet we know that he suffered. The one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and Omega. He went through some terrible transitions in his life. He did it for the world. He did it that we can have a right to the tree of life. He did it because he loved us. The Word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, yes, there are sufferings in the world. And we ask ourselves, how can human suffering be reduced or how can it be eliminated? I just believe that long as we are upon this earth, there may be some time, there will be some time in our lives that we're going to go through situations in our lives as being human beings. Here, the answer is like the questions are. I know that the questions may be a little complex. Why people do suffer? Why what the purpose of suffering and how can suffering be reduced? When we think about the incident that happened 2 weeks ago, yes, we have a lot of answers to that situation. How can things be avoided? But yes, there are other situations in our life that comes up, and we have to know how to handle things in our lives. You know, sometimes we're not prepared for things to happen, but things do happen. Do you not know while most creatures suffer physical pain, humans additionally experience the anguish of mental suffering. When we find that, you know, the animals, they go through suffering. And people, human beings, they go also through physical suffering and physical pain. But at the same time, they also go through mental anguish, mental suffering. Have you ever been through suffering because of things that you know have happened to you or happened to a loved one? I'm quite sure when we think of Job and the Word of God, how he must have heard and how the suffering that he experienced and encountered when they got a first report of what had happened to him, you know, about his those things that God really had blessed him with. You know, God gave him great substance. He gave him 3,000 camels. He gave him 500 yokes of oxen. He gave him 500 she asses. And he gave him, he had a great, a very great household. So he was the greatest in all the men of the East. So therefore, to see everything that you work for and everything that you have, that it just vanished away. And with that said, I know that there had to be some suffering. But even when we suffer, even when we go through, we cannot give up. You know, sometimes you may throw your hands up, but you cannot give up. If you throw your hand up to God for help and for strength, you know, that's one thing. If you throw your hand up, God, it's yours. I give it to you. I need some strength. I need you to keep me at this time. I cannot make it without you. I cannot make you with the loss that I've gone through. You know, I cannot make it. But, Lord, I give my heart and my soul to you. So you see that there are, yes, mental suffering. You know, it may be not physical all the time, but certainly there are mental suffering. And because of our intellect, we can worry about the future. You know, things that are going on, what is going to happen to us. Many people today, they're thinking about, you know, with the cliff, you know, whether or not we're going to go off the cliff, whether or not the bank's going to have the money that they need, whether or not their job's going to still be there, whether or not they're going to get that check in the mail, or whether or not they get the Social Security check or whatever, because many men and women have worked many, many years, 20, 30, 40 years, for that check, and they've gotten old and yet older in life. So therefore, that can bring mental anguish if you allow it to. So sometimes men and women, they agonize even over the past, things that happened in the past. Then they consciously afflict physical or mental pain. But that's another part of it, when physical and mental pain is put upon, is inflicted upon others, and people struggle with problems of pain in ourselves. Sometimes it's not that easy, because sometimes, you know, I believe that when people go through times in their lives, you know, they need, number one, Christ Jesus as being their primary source, he being the lawyer, he being the counselor, he being the Prince of Peace, he's been the Alpha and Omega in their lives, and he's the one that bring about change, and he's the one that will heal broken hearts. He's the one that will bind up the womb. So we find that, yes, a man suffer. Man, when I say man, I mean woman as well. They're a teenager that are going through struggles in their lives. Yes, we're talking about guilt, but yet when you find what we can assess, what we're talking about today, we see that even in that, there is guilt. If I would have did this, if I would have done that, you know, even with the school, the parents, if I would have kept my child home, maybe the child may have an earache or was feeling a little symptomatic, if I would have kept them home. So many things that they may be in mental anguish about today. And it may not even be that with you. There are things that you may be going through, and you don't know how in order to handle it. I believe that, and as a counselor, I always acknowledge God, because he's saying all thy ways acknowledge him. Him being Christ, him being Jesus, him being God. It all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We begin to sometimes suffering comes through no fault of our own. Do you not know that? Sometimes a person may suffer, and it's not their fault. When we look at Jesus, it wasn't his fault that he suffered, and he gave his life for us. He suffered because of the fact he loved us. For the word of God says, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So here we see that Christ, he suffered for us, that we could have a right to the tree of life. Sometimes people suffer, and it's no fault of theirs, the why they suffer. But often we suffer because of what we ourselves have done. Now, that is a fact. Sometimes we suffer because of things that we ourselves have done. And then when we look at this, we look at guilt. Guilt is at the basis of much of human suffering. Guilt is at the basis of much of human suffering. It has been stated that there is no box big enough to hold all the person with guilt. That means it's an insurmountable people, a number of people that have their suffering with guilt. And there's nothing that can contain them for the amount of people that are going through guilt. They are all unique, and they need to be seen as individuals. Every person has different reasons of why they feel guilty. It is not an easy task. If you talk with people who are depressed, lonely, grieving, members of violent families, homosexuals, alcoholics, terminally ill, people that are struggling with a marriage turmoil, these are some of the things that we talked about through the year. But these people, as you see, they are struggling with guilt. And they are facing almost any other problem. And you can find people who experience guilt as part of their guilt difficulties. When they're going through struggles, and they're going through things in their lives, you should be assured that guilt is a part of it. Guilt has been described as the place where religion and psychology most often meet. It is, or has been called, the crucial factor in the problems that people bring to us as Christian counselors. According to a psychologist, Bruce Naramore, an understanding of guilt feeling is central to any understanding of psychology, maladjustment. It is so important, and it is central to our psychological maladjustment. And when we look at it, there are several types of guilt. And I know that I'm talking to some people that are listening to this broadcast that are dealing with guilt. You know, things that they did, things that they should have done that didn't get done. They can be grouped into two categories. They are objective guilt and subjective guilt. So let me tell you again, it's two groups that they can be guilty become identified with. They are objective guilt and subjective guilt. Objective guilt, it occurs when a law has been broken, and the lawbreaker is guilty, even though he or she may not feel guilty. Subjective guilt, that's when it refers to the inner feeling of the remorse and self-condemnation that come because of our action. When we talk about objective guilt, it can be divided into four types. The first one is called legal guilt. Now, this is a violation of society law. Example, I'll give you an example. A person drives through a red light, steals from a department store, is guilty, even if the person never gets caught. And regardless of whether he or she feels remorse, a theological guilt, it involves a failure to obey the laws of God. The Bible describes divine standards for human behavior, standards that we all violate at times by our action and by our thoughts. According to the scripture, we are all sinners. We are all sinners, but we are saved by the grace of God. The word of God said we all sin and come short of the glory of God. That's why he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We are all guilty before God, whether or not we feel remorse or not. If you go into a department store or you take something that does not belong to you, whether you feel guilty or not, you are guilty before God. Even if you don't feel any remorse for what you've done, it does not change it that you are guilty before God. Many psychiatrists and psychologists do not admit that the existence of theological guilt. And for them to say that they would admit to it would be to admit that there is also absolute moral standard. And we all should have some kind of moral standard. That's what's happening in our world today. Man doesn't have moral standards that they live by. Many do not. Some do. And those that do, that have standards, I believe that their life can be more productive. They have less guilt. They do things that according to the Word of God. If absolute standards exist, there must be a standard setter. And that standard setter is God. For many, it's easy to believe that right and wrong are relative and dependent on one's own experience, training, and subjective values. A third type of objective guilt is personal guilt. Let's talk about that. Here, the individual violates his or her own personal standard or resists the urging of conscience. No law has been broken, and neither has the guilty person disobeyed God. If a father determines to spend each Sunday with the family, for example, he experienced guilt when the business keeps him away from home over a weekend because that's something that he wanted determined to do. He wanted to spend time with the family. That time was set aside. But because of his business, it kept him away from home over the weekend. Then we have another example of a wife. She may feel guilty as well because she is indulging in a in eating maybe a tempting dessert. She knows that she's trying to lose weight. She knows that she may be overweight and vice versa, be male or female. But they feel guilty for eating something that they should not have been eating. So we talk about social guilt. Social guilt comes when we break an unwritten but social expected rule. If a person behaves rudely, gossip, criticize unkindly, does things maliciously, ignore someone who has a need, no law has been broken. And there may be no feeling of remorse. Nevertheless, the guilty person has violated the social expectation of other people in the neighborhood, the church, the workplace, and the society. And may I say that no matter what, the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. So if it's unright, unrighteous, then it's sin. So it's violating the law of God. Example, most people feel uncomfortable when they break a civil law, like a legal bill, and deliberately resist or ignore God, which is the theological guilt. They violate a personal standard and they act contrary to social expectation, which is a social guilt. It is possible to do all of these, however, and never feel guilty. Now, a person has to have no type of conscious relationship with the Almighty God to do some of the things that they do and not feel guilty about. I believe when a person studies the Word of God, and we should study the Word of God. But the Word of God says to study that show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to write and divide the Word of truth. He said that we shall know truth, and the truth will make us free. We're going to be free of the guilt. We're going to be free of being in bondage. A lot of things that we don't have to go through, that we do it God's way. And so it should be some kind of, the light should come on the inside of us to let us know when we're out of line with the Word of God and whether or not we're in a social situation or whatever it may be. You know, we need to be able to be aware of that and not so freely do things that are not according to God's Word and according to having that moral type standard. The hardened criminal may act violently, but feel no sadness or remorse. And we know that there are many people that are in prison, in jail, and everyone that's in prison, not in prison because they have committed a crime. They may be in prison because they have been found guilty, but that does not mean that they committed a crime. For example, I think it was four or five young men that was in prison. They served their time in prison, but they were not guilty of a crime. They were in there for a long period of time. And then they found evidence of DNA. They found that this could have possibly been the result of these men that they had found guilty a long time ago. So, let's talk about subjective guilt. And as I was saying before we go further, they couldn't have really found, been guilty, felt guilty of something that they had not done. And these were people, and they were just examples of people that are in prison. Yes, I realize that people in prison that commit terrible crimes, child molesting, in there because they have murdered someone. They may have robbed a bank or whatever, but there are people. Let's keep in mind, that's why the Lord wants us to have a conscience, and he wants us to be mindful of things, and we must not be so judgmental about people that we don't want to help them or don't want to know truth. Now, as we begin to talk about subjective guilt, this is a uncomfortable feeling of regret, remorse, shame, self-condemnation that often comes when we have done or thought something that we feel is wrong, or failed to do something that should have been done. Often there is discouragement, anxiety, fear of punishment, low self-esteem, and a sense of isolation, all tied together as a part of guilt feeling. These emotions may be strong or they can be weak. Usually they are unpleasant, but they are not always bad. They can stimulate us to change our behavior, and that's a good thing. And that's what we want you to hear here today, that sometimes when we are feeling certain things, it can help a person to change their ways. If you don't have any feeling when you do certain things and you don't feel guilty about some things, then you, your heart could be very well hardened. I remember the thief on the cross. There was a murderer on the cross next to Jesus. And there was another man on the other side of Jesus when Jesus was on the cross. And the murderer, the other man was making fun. He was trying to say things about Jesus, and he didn't have any sympathy. He didn't really know who he was talking to. And the other man that was on the cross, as Jesus, he really was saying to the other man that we're here because of the deeds that we have done. But this man, he has done nothing. In other words, he's done nothing worthy to be upon this cross. And then he told Jesus, remember me when I come unto thy kingdom. Remember me when I come into his kingdom. And the Lord let him know today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And he was. And that just shows how easy that we can be saved. We can be a sinner today, a sinner right now, but we give our life to Christ, then we can be saved. We can go to heaven just like the man that was on the cross that Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We talked about there is discouragement. There is anxiety, there's fear of punishment. We talk about low self-esteem and a sense of when people feel like they're isolated and they're by themselves. And all of this will be tied together, as we said before, as part of the guilt feeling. The emotions that one experiences, it could be strong. The emotions can be weak. Usually they are unpleasant, but they are not always bad. They can stimulate us to change our behavior. That's what we want to be able to do. If you did something that you shouldn't have done, then just change it. You change it. Don't keep doing the same thing that you did that caused guilt or that you know that was wrong. And you ought to seek forgiveness from God for what you've done. Now, sometimes they tell us to seek forgiveness from other human beings, but I think the first thing that you need to do, if you offended somebody, yes, you ought to ask their forgiveness. You ask God to forgive you, because it always should be included in anything that we do. If you offended somebody, you shouldn't ask God to forgive you for whatever you did to that person. Guilt feelings, however, can also be destructive, and it can be an inhibitory influence that makes life miserable. So here we're talking about subjective guilt, that guilt that is uncomfortable. It's a guilt of regret. It's a guilt of remorse, of shame. It's a guilt of self-condemnation, one that comes when we have done or thought something that we feel is wrong. So we just want to make sure that you understand where we're coming from today. I'm going to have to move just a little bit into a little bit more as we talk about and guilt, and we don't have much more time on this broadcast today, but you get the idea as what we are trying to convey to you. When people talk about guilt, they usually are referring to subjective guilt and feeling, but the Bible never uses guilt in this way, and there are three Greek words translated guilt or guilty. It refers to the theological guilt that we described earlier. We talked about earlier. And a person is guilty in the biblical sense when he or she has broken God's law. In the Bible, there appears to be little difference between guilt and sin. This has a significant implication for Christians. Since the Bible never talks about subjective guilt feeling, in no place does it imply that we should try to arouse guilt feeling in others. We already have talked about when we feel guilty about certain things, it can help us to change our ways. It can help us to be better. The causes of guilt, in spite of all of this, many well-intentioned parents, teachers, preachers, television evangelists, counselors attempt to stir up guilt on the assumption that this will motivate others, stimulate Christian growth, punish wrongdoers, prevent pride, protect people from future sin, or stimulate financial contribution. Non-Christians have critical of such practice, arguing that they arouse unhealthy guilt feeling and tend to be manipulated. So we ought to do in the right way. We ought not to try to make people feel guilty for wrong motive. We show people the right way. That's what's most important. So I hope on this day, on the last day of 2012, that you have been able to hear what we have been able to give to you on today and on the broadcast in 2012. It has been a blessing to be able to come before you each week. I would like to thank Mary Lucio, Dr. Gloria Castor, Dr. June Normill, for being my guest and for being part of the panel here on the Crossroad broadcast. I'm going to continue to pray for each of you. We will hope that you will join us on next Monday at the same time on the Crossroad broadcast. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for the closing of 2012. We pray, God, that you will have your way, that you will bless every hero, every doer, God, those that have gone through struggles in their lives, those, God, that have gone through problems, those that have had family crisis, those that have gone through anger and rage, and those that have been experienced abuse. I pray, God, even now, God, that you alone will have your way. And Lord, if any that have not received you as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that a shame will be manifested in their lives. Lord, you said to ask and shall be given. You said to seek and you shall find. You said to knock and the door shall be opened. You said, Lord God, if we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, say to the mountain, be thou moved. You said that it shall be moved. So, Lord, we thank you, God, for all of the people, Father God, that are listening, God, whatever area that they are listening from, be it Texas or Chicago, or God, in the name of Jesus, Ohio, any place, God, in the United States of America, Tampa, Jacksonville, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, whatever area they may be in, God. Lord, look upon them, God, even now. Heal broken hearts. Bind up those wounds. In Jesus' name we pray. But this has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Again, it's been a blessing for to be able to come to you each week and to talk to you about crossroads, things that you're about to go through, things that you have been through. Keep your eyes on the hill which cometh your help, knowing that your help cometh from the Lord who has made the heavens and the earth.